Hello, everyone. I'm Dawn Ireland, president of CDH International, and this is the CDH Radio Show. This week, we are joined by Carly Nelson as she shares a story of her baby girl, River.
My name is Carly Nelson, and I am the mother of River Lynn Nelson, who was born on October 18th, 2021. So her story and our story basically starts in April of 2021. So I found out that I was pregnant. And at that time, I was just really nervous and upset because I'd never pictured myself being a mom. That just like wasn't in the cards for me at all. I always have been in the veterinary industry, and I just was going to be the cool aunt and a dog mom. That quickly changed when we found out that I was pregnant with her. So it was hard for me to wrap my head around being a mom. And it took a long time to do that. After, you know, a couple weeks, maybe like 10, 12 weeks, I started getting excited, which was great because I didn't think I would ever be excited to be a mom. And then it came point to do my ultrasound. So we went in and it was just a regular ultrasound. I have some really great doctors here in the Lehigh Valley, and they were going through the anatomy ultrasound, just like looking through really quick, and the doctor stepped out. And I said to my mom, I said, something's wrong. I feel it in my heart that there's something going on. He left, and I also do ultrasounds on animals, totally different from people. But I noticed that it looked like, for me, her heart was on the wrong side of her body. And when he walked out, I even said to the doctor, I said, her heart's on the wrong side of her body. And he looked at me and was like, I'll be right back. And he walked out. And then he quickly came back in, and he just said flat out, your daughter, or he said your baby, because we didn't know it was a girl at the time, that we think she has congenital diaphragmatic hernia. And I just looked at him blankly and I was like, okay, so what's that? And then he started talking, and you ever see in the movies where like it's slow motion and everything's just kind of like blur? Like that's literally what was happening to me in the room. It didn't seem real. At the time, my mom was in the ultrasound with me because my husband was working, so he didn't even get the news, which was upsetting. So I'm going through this with my mom, who's more emotional than me. She's crying, and I didn't even know how to take that. That was rough. Yes. So my husband couldn't be there. So my biggest fear was, how am I going to break the news to him that our daughter has this condition that I know nothing about? I think the best thing was though, finding out super early. I had a lot of time to just research and connect via social media, mostly with CDH International, other moms that just, you know, didn't, that were going through this same thing as me, and getting a lot of information. So I'm a planner. I like to prepare, and I literally researched everything I potentially could, everything. Mm-hmm. So we left that day at the doctor just kind of confused and not knowing really what's going on or if she'd even make it. And one of the options he did tell me was that like abortion would be on the table, which was crazy to me because I was like, oh my gosh, here I am like not wanting this baby in the beginning, and now I want this baby so badly, and now they're telling me that, you know, it's okay to not continue with this. So I told my husband, and he actually took it a lot better than me. He's ex-military and been in Iraq a bunch of times. And he's like, well, we'll just adapt and overcome, and whatever, you know, comes our way, we're going to figure it out. So the pregnancy went on, and everything was going, I guess, normal. I didn't know. I've never been pregnant before, so I didn't really know in general how to feel or what was normal and what wasn't normal. So that was also really hard for me, because I was like, should I be feeling her move? Should I not be feeling her move? I didn't know. But we consulted with, we went down to CHOP, and they were great. They kind of just helped me through everything step by step. We also went down to Florida at John Hopkins down there and consulted with them also. And the news across the board for River was that she had around a 95 to, John Hopkins said 99%, but 95% survival rate, which was great. And that gave us so much hope. So we just continued like anyone else would if they were pregnant with a baby. We had a baby shower. We had a gender reveal. We did all of those things that people that would expect to have their baby come home from the hospital with them do. Around 30 weeks or so, she started retaining fluid in her chest and her abdomen. We were going to the hospital almost every, I think it was every month actually. Ultrasounds and checks and blood work and everything. And I, you know, if I ever do decide to have a baby again or get pregnant again, I think it's going to be really different, because I felt like I was at the doctor almost every day. So that we were monitoring her so closely, everything we were monitoring, and out of nowhere, I don't know if it was like a mother's intuition or something, but I just felt like it wasn't right. And that's when I went back and they said that she was retaining chest in her, or fluid in her chest. So they did a thoracocentesis, which is basically like an amniocentesis. It goes, they take a large needle, it goes through my abdomen into her chest, and they drain the fluid. They did another recheck the following week, and the fluid was coming back. So then they had to do another again. So it was incredibly painful. But at the end of the day, I said, you know, if this is going to help her survive, we want to do that. And it came to the point where she just kept retaining fluid, and no one knew why. They said it can happen with babies with CDH, but we don't know the reason really why babies just retain this fluid in their chest. So the next course of action for her was to, place a stent in her chest, which would help drain the fluid into, out of her chest into the amniotic sac. So then the night before, I felt weird. I felt like something wasn't right. So I called the doctors and I said, you know, something just doesn't feel right. I feel like maybe my water broke, and they talked to me for 20 minutes and they were like, no, your water didn't break. Like it's just being pregnant and stuff down there. It's different. So I was like, okay, well, I'll see you guys in the morning and we'll come in. And they're like, we'll do a thorough assessment before your procedure. At that point, I was 33 weeks, pregnant at that time. And I came in and I told the nurses, you know, how I was feeling the night before, and they had a doctor come in and just check. And when they did, I just watch with the masks, it's hard to read faces, but I just watched their eyes, and they just got really big, all of them. And they didn't say anything, but they looked at each other. And working in a hospital, I knew, I was like, oh, this another bad news. It just felt like the whole pregnancy, I just kept getting bad news after bad news. And they said, well, at this point you have an amniotic rupture and you cannot leave this hospital bed until River comes. And you are not leaving this hospital today or anytime soon. And what was supposed to be a in and out procedure, like a day procedure, turned into me being admitted to the hospital, which that alone was really traumatic because we had nothing ready. We didn't have anything situated at home or someone to take care of our animals, or I didn't have anything packed. I didn't have any clothes or anything because they said you'd be there for the day and then leaving. So luckily we're about an hour and a half away from the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. So my husband was able to get everything ready, but hearing that I'm not allowed to leave the bed at all was very terrifying. Different. Yeah. And I'm a very active person. And I run my own business and I work at work with animals. So it was just very like drop everything. Like this is what we're doing. So, that was hard, but if it was what was going to help her, that's what obviously I was going to do. So I was on bed rest and they were keeping her on monitors at basically the whole time. And then everything was looking really good and she was moving as she should. So we started doing the monitoring every 4 hours, along with a lot of medications and IV antibiotics, just since I had the rupture that there was no infection going on. So I was there for a total of a week, and at the day I went in on a Monday, and then the following Monday, that 34 weeks, I was feeling a lot of pressure, and also, I didn't feel her move, and the whole time I was pregnant, I really didn't feel her move much, which I thought was normal, because again, I've never been pregnant, and like, when I was having contractions, I didn't even know I was having like those pre-contractions. I just thought they were like stomach aches, mm-hmm. and like cramps, I guess. And I learned that when I was in the hospital the nurse was touching my belly, I was like, oh, I'm having another stomach cramp. She's like, no, that's a contraction. Mm-hmm. It was a lot. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. Looking back, I feel guilty.
I don't think you have a reason to feel guilty. I went through some of the similar things with Ian, and he came early and I didn't know what the contractions were or what I was feeling. Yeah. So you were experiencing normal things.
Yeah. Thank you. You look for a reason. Or like why things happened, and mm-hmm. like I never really got that with the situation with River. So I always look back, if I could have done something different, maybe the outcome would have been different, and everyone mm-hmm. tells me no, and I know that I do, but it's hard, you know. Mm-hmm. It's been 8 months and it's really fresh, but so anyways, let me grab a tissue. Anyways, after that, they decided that I needed an emergency C-section.
Because of her or because of symptoms of you for her?
No, I needed an emergency C-section because she stopped moving. The fluid in her chest was getting worse, and now she was retaining fluid in her abdomen as well, which is commonly known as hydrops, is the medical term that they use for babies that are retaining fluid in multiple parts of their body. On top of that, her heart was getting incredibly weak from having all this fluid build up in her chest and everywhere. So they said, you know, we have to do this now. So they prepped. It took about an hour for them to prep. They told me that there was going to be over 40 people, 40 doctors, nurses in the delivery room with me, which is true because there were so many people. But before I went in, I remember just around five or six doctors and residents coming in, and I was in the bed. And they all sat in a semicircle around me, and just their faces tell it all, but I know they tried not to, and try to stay positive, but they did tell me, they said, we just want to let you know that River is a very rare case, and we have not seen another baby with CDH like this. I said, so what does that mean? Like, what are her chances? Like, what is, you know, her survival rate? I'm a very number oriented person. they don't give numbers that much, as I'm sure you know. And they said, we can't give you numbers. She's the only one we've ever seen like this. They did tell me that they've seen 3 babies with high drops, but not with like the heart issues. And I said, well, what about those babies? And they said they didn't make it. And I said, okay, so what are you trying to tell me? And they're just dancing around the fact that they're basically saying that they don't think my baby will survive. So I just said it when I was sitting there, they're, you know, saying all these words, which again, it's a lot when you're just sitting there. And I just blurted out, so you're saying she's going to die. That's what you're telling me. And they're like, and I just remember the doctor saying, just wow. That's all she said was, wow. I said, just be straight with me. I don't need sugar-coated words. Just tell me the truth. And that's, and she said, we can't say that for certain, but what we can say is that we are going to try our best to help her survive. I said, well, I appreciate that, but I just, you know, want to know the truth. I said, and she said, the truth is that we're going to do everything we can, and you just need to relax and just stay calm, because that's what's going to be best for her. So that's exactly what I tried to do. So they told us that they were going to have a pastor come in and talk to us, because it was important to us that she was baptized if she would pass away. So the pastor came in and talked to us about, she was going to be in the surgery room with us. And if something were to happen, she would bless River and we would say goodbye right there. So I was prepared to do that. I was mentally trying to prepare myself the best I could to give birth and say goodbye right there. And so we went, we had a little time to ourselves, my husband and I, and he's such a brave person. He's been through a lot already with serving. So he was really my support system. Like, I was shattered. And he just held me while I cried. So he was like, you got to be strong for River, because if you're not, she's going to feel that, which I believe, yeah, she would. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, we're just going to push through this. We're going to, whatever comes our way, we're going to work through. So I remember it. He had to wait before I went into the surgery room. And I wasn't in labor at all. So the nurse and I walked down this long hallway. And I walked into the surgery room, which I thought was so bizarre, because when you see like movies or videos of like, you don't see the mom walking into the surgery room and being like, hey guys, I'm ready to have a baby. So right. that was weird. It wasn't how I pictured it. So I walked in and literally there's at least 40 people and they're all just looking at me. And you can tell with, they all had masks on, but you could tell they're all smiling with their eyes, and everyone's like super supportive. And I went in and I had to have my epidural, and the doctors at CHOP were incredible. They were so supportive. And one of the doctors just held my hand and looked at me and she's like, we're going to get through this. You're going to be okay. And they gave me my epidural, which was nothing, honestly, in the moment. I don't with childbirth, everyone says it's so hard. I think that was literally the easiest part of this whole experience. It didn't hurt. I didn't feel anything. I would do it 100 times over again, honestly. But yeah, so I laid there, and then my husband walked in and on the table. And at that point, a little groggy from all the drugs. So I see him and he's right at my side, right up here. And then the pastor was in too, and she was in the corner and she just was quietly praying, the whole time, which was nice, but also scary, because you're like, oh my God, like this is serious. So they, you know, he was just talking to me the whole time, my husband, and I could see the monitors, and I, like I said, I do surgery on animals. So that was something that I just focused on, the monitor and my vitals, because that was, I felt like at the time, the only thing I could control, but I couldn't even control that. So I just kept talking to the anesthesia nurse and asking her about my vitals. She probably wanted to kill me. That was so annoying. I realize that now. So they're doing the C-section, and I just hear that, you know, my blood pressure was dropping, her blood pressure was dropping, and I'm awake. So I think they were being very like quiet about, you know, talking a lot about what's going on, but you have that big drape there and you don't know what's going on. And I was just trying to talk to them, also like not distract them, because I know I'm cut open. I was like, what's going on? Like, what is she alive? Like, is she in there? Like, and when they took River out of me, they told me, they were like, you're going to feel a lot of pressure. And I did. And I just felt her leave me. And at that point I was like, oh my God, I literally have no control now. Like she's gone. I can't help her anymore. I looked at the pastor, and she's still praying, but she's not walking over there to bless her. And I said, why is she not blessing her? Why is she not, we need her baptized before she goes. And they said, no, she's fighting. She wants to live, which was really great to hear. So they rushed her, there's three rooms, and they rushed her to the next room, which is the CPR room. And they performed CPR and they resuscitated her. And then the next room over is the surgery room. And they told us that she would definitely need ECMO to keep her alive. And they were scared that her jugular vein was not big enough to do that, which that did happen. It was, her jugular vein wasn't big enough. So they did the putting the ECMO through her heart. So they did the open heart surgery right there. And they just kept telling me, like, she's still alive. Like, she's fighting for her life. Like, she's, you know, she's going to keep going. Like, this is better than we hoped, which at that time gave me so, so much hope that I was like, oh my God, like, she's going to make it. But in the back of my mind, I also knew, oh my God, like she may not. So my main concern was getting me to the point where I could physically stand and see her. So they said, you know, we got her from here. Like, she's, you know, we're going to take care of her. Like, please, we're going to get you back in your room to recover and we'll go from there. So we went back to my room, and they said, you know, no news is good news right now. So just focus on you, focus on your husband, and we'll update you. And 10 hours passed. We didn't hear anything, which we were like, okay, well, then she's still alive. They're still working on her. They had the whole cardiology unit then come up for her in the OR to place the ECMO. So the doctors came in, and after 10 hours, and they said, hey, River is coming out of surgery just now. And she actually had to pass our my room to go off, and she was going into the cardiac unit to continue her care. So my husband went out in the hallway, and the nurses wheeled my bed as close as to the door as I could to see her. And she went down the hallway, and there was at least 15 people just around the bed, just one breathing for her and holding like all her wires and everything. So my husband actually videotaped it for me, like got close to her so I could see her little face. And then he showed me her. And then we just kind of waited anxiously to be told when we could see her. And by that point, after the drugs have all worn off, I could feel my legs at that time so I could walk. I wanted to walk, but they were like, no, you get in the wheelchair and we're going to wheel you down to see her. So I delivered her at 2:37 in the afternoon. And by the time we got to see her, it was 12 a.m. in the morning. And we went down and I saw her for the first time, but I couldn't touch her or anything. And I just saw all the wires, and all the machines hooked up to her, the ECMO. It was overwhelming. And I say that was overwhelming, but I prepared myself for 8 months basically to see that. And it still isn't real until you see it on your own kid. And that was so hard. And of course, again, I always reference the monitors and the doctor and nurses. She had two nurses and a doctor there just caring for her. And I look at the monitors and her vitals. And I was like, how is she alive? Her vitals aren't compatible with life right now. Her blood pressure is astronomically low. And I wish almost I didn't have the profession I had, because I think knowing what was going on was even harder, to the extent that I did, because I was calling things out before they were telling me, and I think that just hit so much harder. I remember seeing her blood pressures astronomically low. I was like, oh my God, how is she living? They gave her 3 blood transfusions, and her blood work was horrible, which they had on the monitor. Like, her kidney values were horrible, liver values, everything was just really bad. And I also noticed when I was looking at her that she was bleeding through her skin, and they said she wasn't clotting blood, so that would make sense for her low blood pressure, and her internal organ function just like wasn't there. But their main concern was that she hadn't passed any urine at all. So when we went down to see her, it was very brief and short. And it was really hard for me to see her like that, because again, I couldn't help her. And, you know, they said they're trying their best, but the cardiologist, the doctor said, he's like, honestly, if she's not producing urine, and she's not clotting blood, we're trying everything, but this is not looking great, but we're trying our best. So I basically, I saw they were really busy and they were trying to pass a urinary catheter when we got there. So I just was with her for maybe like in that area for 30 to 40 minutes. And I said, I feel like I'm in your way, and I just want you to try and stay out of your way so you can help her. And they said, okay, well, we appreciate that, but, and we'll call you when we get a urinary catheter and just, you know, let you know how it goes. You've had a really big day, like go back and sleep, and we'll, you know, keep your cell phone on. If your cell phone rings, please answer it. We're going to need you to come down here immediately. So I said, okay. And I, you know, I'll keep it on. So my husband and I went back to the room, and I just felt like I died a little, because I knew. I said to him, I said, she's dying. They're keeping a baby alive that's trying to die. And I said, and I know I've seen this before. I said, it's just not fair to her. It's not, we're just prolonging her suffering. What are we doing? This isn't fair. So he said, well, let's just give it tonight. Like, let's just see, you know, like, miracles can happen. I said, she's already a miracle. She's lived 12 hours past anyone longer thought that she could live. So I tried to go to bed, and they ended up giving me medication to try to sleep because I'd been up for so long. And as soon as the medicine kicked in and I fell asleep, my cell phone rang, and I answered it. And the doctor said, I'm really sorry, but we're trying everything. Nothing is working, and she's not producing urine. If it is, it's going somewhere else. She was incredibly swollen also.
And they said, you know, you need to come down and spend as much time as you can with her while she's here. And when you're ready to say goodbye, but you need to get down here right now. So I woke up my husband, I called the nurse, and we went down and we just held her after they disconnected her from everything. But before that, she still wasn't baptized. So we told them, you know, it's really important to us. Can someone please do that? So they called, they had an on-call pastor, and he was there within 30 minutes, which was incredible. And we were so thankful for that. Mm-hmm. So Aaron and I, the doctor said, you know, we can keep her going on ECMO. We can keep her going on everything, but she will eventually pass. And they said, or you can disconnect her from the ECMO and you can hold her and she will go peacefully. She's on a lot of pain meds. But it's really up to you what you want to do, because, you know, some people will just continue and some people will not. And so we went, Aaron and I, my husband, went in a conference room, and I said nothing. I sat there because we knew we were going to have this conversation, and I already knew how I felt. I verbally voiced it as soon as I saw her when we got back to our room. The first time, and I sat there and I just looked at him and I said, what do you want to do? And he sat there for 10 minutes in silence, and he just never shed a tear at all. And he just, after 10 minutes, just broke down completely. I've never seen him cry, because he's always the brave one. So that was hard. But yeah, he broke down. And he said, you're right. The right thing to do is to let her go. And I said, yeah. Yeah, it's what we have to do. So by the time we were out of the conference room, the pastor already arrived. And he said, I'm here for you guys. And whenever you want to do this, I will wait as long as you need. It was 2 a.m. and he had to be exhausted. But we said, no, we're ready, because we feel like she's just hurting and this is just not right to keep doing this to her. So the nurses and doctors slowly disconnected her from everything. And it was the first time and the last time I got to hold my daughter. And she was still hooked up to the monitors, and I watched as I held her, and I watched her heart rate just slowly, slowly, slowly go down until she was gone. And I just didn't know what to say to her, but I just kept saying, I love you and you're brave and I'm going to miss you. And that was it. And I held her for maybe 30 minutes, but it felt like it was 5, if that. And I'll never forget, I was so scared to hold her. And I even said to my husband, I said, maybe you should hold her when she goes. And he said, you held her for 9 months. And you need to hold her when she leaves, because she knows your touch and she knows your heart rate and your heartbeat. So that was really hard. But I felt like, you know, she at least knew I was there and I was, you know, holding her and she was safe. So after that, you know, we were both a mess, obviously. And my husband held her after the fact. And I knew as soon as he held her and he had his time, that it would be too much for him. When he was done, he was done. So I passed River to him, and he held her and just looked at her. And she looked so much like him. Aww. And he held her for about 30 minutes, and we just sat there in silence. And he said, okay, you know, it's time to go. I said, yeah, I agree. So we went back to the room and we just ended up, you know, going, I had no more emotions left. I was just drained. We went back to sleep and woke up maybe 2-3 hours later. And I was like, I just don't know how we're going to tell our family. We told them that we were going into late, like I was going to have deliver her, but we kind of just kept it at that. We just wanted this to be like our family and really hard. Oh, got it. Okay. So we told our family and they took it really hard. You know, I think it was an eye opener for everyone because I don't think they realized the severity of River's situation. Everyone was so hopeful that, you know, they were like, oh yeah, it's going to be fine. I tried to prepare everyone as I was prepared. But that didn't happen. And then we just going home, I think was probably the hardest, for us, where I just had this picture of my husband and I walking out and carrying River. And if that was 6 months down the road, 9 months down the road, you know, that I always had that envisioned in my head. And when it was time to leave, I didn't want to leave the hospital. I don't think my husband did either, because it felt like I was just leaving a piece of her behind, because every memory I ever had of my daughter was in the hospital. And then we're being told, okay, you're discharged, you're good to go. And, you know, we're here if you need us, but, you know, go home. And I was like, go home to what? Everything that meant anything to me was here. So we were told we could leave in the morning. We sat in the room for 8 hours and I was just like, okay, I think, you know, it's time. Like, we'll gather our things, because I was living there for a week. Everything was actually more than a week. You know, I was there for about 2 weeks after everything was said and done. So we packed everything up and I had a lot of flowers from everyone, and my husband and he carried out flowers, and I was hugging her clay footprint, and I just held it so close. That's what I left with. I never thought we would be that couple to lose our baby. I just, being told it was a 95% chance that she'd be walking out with us, it just stung so much more. And my husband was holding the flower, so I think everyone assumed that we had a baby coming home with us, because they couldn't see the clay footprint I was holding, and they said, oh, congratulations. And we just said thank you. We didn't know what to say. Getting home, I think getting home was also really hard too, just because we had a nursery for her and everything was so ready for a baby for the most part. I mean, she was super early, but like we had the crib and everything like that set up. And my mom and my sister just came by the house and closed everything and put everything baby related away, which I guess they were trying to do what they thought was right. But at the same time, it felt like then she didn't exist. So, you know, it's been 7-8 months now, around there, that we've lost River, and it's still obviously hard for me, a lot better than I've been, but it's still an ongoing thing of grief. Like I see women with babies and I'm not jealous or mad at them, but I just wish it was me. All my friends have babies. We are all pregnant around the same time. So it's hard looking and seeing, you know, them grow and they would be the same age as River. Those sort of things are just hard to get through life. But also, you know, we're giving back too. Which I think has helped a lot. And my husband
And I had a big fundraiser 2 months after River passed. And we had a CDH event. And it was basically just educating people on what CDH is. And we had raffle baskets and just donations mm-hmm. set up to go to families in need. And we raised around $5,000, which was great from our friends and family mm-hmm. and some people we didn't even know. So that helps with our grieving. And that's where we're at with our story and our journey right now, is just trying to get through and go on with life and just remember her and grieve appropriately, I guess. So
does River's name have a meaning to you? Is there a reason why you guys picked River?
Yeah, well, at first it started out, so we were in bed and we just were going off on what, talking about baby names, and I said, okay, on the count of three, we're both gonna, and we've never discussed baby names ever, and I said, we're just gonna say our favorite names on the count of three if it's a girl, and we both said River.
Aww.
And I was like, that's really? I was like, that's my favorite name. And he was like, yeah, I've always wanted a girl named River. So we did. And I found out I was pregnant with River. We were planning our wedding, but we found out before that I was pregnant. And we did a trip to Washington State. We eloped and got married in a national rainforest. And we got married along a river. So
yeah, I remember seeing that picture, and you got the CDH ribbon up in the corner. Is that the one?
Yep, that's the one. So that's exactly where we got married. So.
Oh, that's precious. Yeah. That's special.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually on her tombstone as well, that picture.
Oh, that's precious.
Yeah.
That is precious. And I see you're running in the Ariana CDH Foundation race coming up here in August.
Yep. Yeah, we're doing that too. Ariana's parents remind me a lot of Aaron and I, and they were some of the first people to reach out to us too, and we did the run last year when I was 5 months pregnant, and I won a medal.
Oh, that's precious.
So did my husband, but they were there. They're so supportive with everything we've gone through, and they've reached out to us and just offering support and being there, which is great. So.
That's wonderful. Ariana CDH Foundation is one that gives back to our tote bags and helps families through our tote bags. So we greatly appreciate their support. And it's very special that you're able to run in River's memory and that she's there with you every step.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks.
Thank you so much for sharing River's story, raising awareness and bringing much needed awareness to CDH, because this is why we do what we do, is for families like yours to make a difference in research and to raise awareness why we need to make better treatments for these babies.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And thank you for offering me to share our story. So I hope it can help somebody, you know, in the future, or a mom maybe preparing. So
you are very welcome. Thank you.
Tracy, thank you as always for doing such an amazing job interviewing families and helping them to share their stories. Carly, our heart goes out to you and your husband, Aaron, and for all the families who have suffered loss due to congenital diaphragmatic hernia. We so appreciate you sharing River with us. If any families listening out there would like to share your stories, please go to www.cdhi.org/shareyourstory, and we would be honored to share your journey with the world. Thank you once again. I'm Donna Ireland, your host from CDH International, and we will see you again next week. Bye-bye.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. I'm in the light now. Ah! My car was torn off. So I now have this strong. Yeah.